John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself, and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18.
Amen. We've heard a lot of messages, Easter messages, based on that portion of Scripture. It's Easter morning, the morning Jesus rose from the grave, resurrection, life, you know, beating death. We've heard a lot of messages based on those scriptures, and good messages. One thing that stands out to me is that Mary wouldn't let go. She loved him so much that even when the other disciples went away, she stayed. She wasn't even impressed with angels. Two angels are sitting in there talking to her. She only wants to know, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? I'm not going to get all caught up in angels. I want Jesus. Because of her passionate desire for him, she found him. She found him before he went up to heaven, before he ascended, before others could see him, before anybody could touch him, because he hadn't gone up yet to receive that new body. But she didn't know him. She didn't know him, and she thought he was a gardener. You know, people get all dressed up on Easter. Some of us did that today because others talked us into it. But I remember one Easter when we were coming out of the religious spirit, you know, where we had to get dressed up on Easter. In fact, we had to get dressed up every Sunday. We were told, you know, if you're going on an important date, you would dress up. So it's Sunday, you dress up for God. And we did that for years. But we were kind of breaking away from that stereotype. And it was Easter morning, and some of our people coming would be all dressed up, and some of them would not be dressed up. And I didn't know what to do. And I said, Jesus, what do I do? And he had me dress in torn, faded jeans and put on a T-shirt and cover it with dirt and look like a gardener. So I messed up my hair and put some dirt on my face and hands. And I said, this is how Jesus came out on Easter, looking like a gardener. So it's not about our clothes. So we've enjoyed some different messages about Easter. I don't want to go to one of those this morning, though. I want to go back to John 11. Because resurrection life was seen long before the day he rose from the grave. Long before that morning, we saw resurrection life. And I think there's a parallel of why John 11 existed before John 20. He could have just waited till John 20 and said, now you see, now you have proof, now you know that I'm resurrection life. But in John 11, it took a different kind of faith. Jesus hadn't exposed himself in full glory yet. And it took a different kind of faith when he raised Lazarus. But he was already resurrection life. He was already that. So I want to look at John 11, starting in verse 11. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Now Jesus had already heard Lazarus was sick, that he was going to die, so he waited. He waited until after he died, because he didn't want to get there until Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. There's a point in that for us. There's a point that resurrection life for us does not have to wait. When my sister died and the Lord said, she would run day, I'm going to raise her. And I said, yeah, like the story will go on where Martha said, yeah, I know, in the day of the resurrection. He said, no, I am the resurrection. And I said, Jesus, are you telling me you'll raise my sister? He said, I am. When? And he said, what does it matter? 4 days, 40 years, it doesn't make any difference. The body could decay, the body does decay, but it doesn't make any difference. Jesus can just make a new body.
Amen.
So that's what was happening. Is I think he was trying to tell us something here prior to Easter morning, that resurrection life is in Christ. It was always in Christ. And he wants to speak that kind of life into us. We may not have to go into the grave. We can have a resurrected life right now. He wants to resurrect the truth of who we are, the hope of the call on our life, the hope of what he created us to be needs to be resurrected, because we've been walking around like, you know, that TV show, Dead Man Walking, or when they go into the gas chamber, they say, Dead Man Walking. We've been dead men walking until we met him. And sometimes we just cling to that old life and we don't believe our new life. Today we're going to believe our new life again.
Amen.
Verse 17. When Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. I'm skipping some, down to 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know, even now, whatever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. She had a little bit of faith. She didn't have enough faith to believe fully, but she had a little bit of faith. Now, she said, if you had only been here. How many times do we say, God, where are you? Why aren't you doing something? You know, Glenn's cancer. God, why don't you just heal me right now? Because there's something. There's a special time. There's something he's doing through it. But she had enough faith to say, well, you know, I know you got a connection with the Father, and whatever you ask him to do, he's going to do it. Wasn't there a time where God said, there comes a time, whatsoever you ask me, I will do it? Mm-hmm. When we're in a place with Jesus of walking, if we were to look that up, that wasn't in my notes, but if we were to look that up, it was when we come to a place of walking in that unity, where we hear what he says he wants to do. We ask the Father, what are you doing? And we hear it. And then we ask him to do it, and he does. That's an intimate walk with him where we are in fellowship, where we know what, when, how. And then we just command the work of his hands to happen. So verse 23, Jesus said unto her, your brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection, and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Can you believe this? He spoke some heavy-duty words, hard to understand, especially when everybody she knew had died at some point. And he said, well, if you believed in me, you're never going to die. Even if you're alive, but you believe in me, you're never going to die. Well, we know that we have eternal life once we've accepted Christ. Our spirit cannot die. That's a great comfort. You know, people that are so afraid of dying. But if you realize that you are now an eternal spirit and you cannot die, they might kill your body, you'll just get another one.
Amen.
But he asked her if she could believe because he's telling her, your brother's going to be raised from the dead today. Can you believe me for that? And she couldn't. She gave him what she could believe in verse 27. She said unto him, yeah, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She didn't say, yes, I believe you can raise my brother. Yes, I believe your resurrection life right now today without seeing the proof on Easter Sunday. I believe it right now today. Why did he do this before Easter Sunday? Because I think there's some things he wants to do in us before the resurrection day.
Amen.
And we need the faith to believe him. We don't need a lot of faith, just a mustard seed. We go down to verse 35 and we see that shortest scripture in the Bible. Jesus wept. And the Jews said, behold how he loved him. Do you think Jesus wept because Lazarus was dead? No. They thought that when they saw him crying. Most people go to a funeral, they cry. It's because, oh, I'm so sorry that they died. I'm going to miss them. Jesus allowed him to die. And he delayed his coming to allow him to die. He was here to wake him up, and he knew that. In just a couple of minutes, Lazarus would be alive again. Jesus didn't cry grieving because Lazarus died. Jesus cried grieving because people didn't believe him.
Right.
It was the lack of faith that caused him to weep. He had tried to tell Martha, have the faith. He's trying to tell others, have the faith. And in 37, some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused even this man that he should not have died? He wept because of unbelief. All the doubt that surrounded him grieved him. They saw him open the eyes of the blind. If he didn't choose to raise that dead man, it was a choice, not a lack of ability. And they're saying, oh, this man, they're not calling him Christ, Jesus. They're saying, this man, he opened the eyes of the blind. Why couldn't he prevent this death? They're mocking him with their doubt. Verse 38, Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, comes to the grave. And it was a cave and a stone was laid upon it. Now he's going to give them a chance to show their mustard seed faith. They're all going, this is hopeless. It can't happen. I can't believe for this. What if God told you, somebody dropped dead in the service and God told you to raise them. And you're going, well, to be honest, I don't think it's going to work. To be honest, I'm not going to step out and be the one to say, come back to life, because I know I have doubt in my heart. I'm afraid I'll look like a fool. I'm going to do it and they're not going to get up and then people are going to go, oh, where's God? Why didn't it happen? You can look like a fool. So we fear. We fear, but all he needed was that mustard seed amount. So he said, 39, take away the stone. Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto the Lord, by this time he stinks, for he's been dead 4 days. She's saying, when you take away the stone, all we're going to see is a rotten body. It's not going to work. Jesus said, said I not unto you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And look at 11:41. Then they took away the stone. There's the mustard seed faith. They still might have thought it's not going to work. We're just going to find a rotting body. But they did it. There's the mustard seed. Dare to do it. Dare to do what you think he's asking you to do. Dare.
Amen.
To re dare to believe it is his thought that enters your mind and take the risk.
Amen.
If it doesn't happen and you missed it and it wasn't Jesus, it was your imagination, then just say so. I really thought God told me to do that. I'm sorry, maybe I missed it. But what if you didn't? What if we see some miracles because
Amen.
We dare to take
Amen.
The risk of obeying when he gives us a thought?
Amen.
Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I knew that you heard me always, but because of the people which are standing by, I said it, that they might believe that you sent me. This faith was increased by the words that he spoke. He didn't just do the miracle. If he would have just moved the stone miraculously, they didn't get to exercise their faith. They haven't grown. But he spoke words to them. And they believed enough to do what he said. And then when he said, yeah, I'm going to praise God for this. I'm going to thank God that he heard me. I'm going to start doing what you ought to be doing when you believe God heard you. And you might know he heard you, but be brave enough to speak out loud what God
Amen.
Is saying to you so that others around you, when they see the glory of God, know that it's God.
Amen.
Testify. Testify. Go ahead and share what he says to you. Faith increases by the words that he speaks. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Powerful words. I want to hear those words. Loose me and let me go.
Amen.
What is binding us up? What are the grave clothes of the death that we walk around in? Why are we walking around in who we used to be instead of who we are?
Amen.
Why do we walk around in what others think of us instead of what God
Amen.
Said about us? The word of what God said about you can change your life this morning.
Amen.
The word of who God says you are, what he feels for you, can change everything in a moment.
Amen.
You can be completely depressed, thinking you're a failure, that you have nothing to offer. But if you just ask him, Jesus, what would you say to me this morning? What do you think of me this morning? Who am I to you? How do you feel about me? What is my truth? Speak to me. Now, it can be very simple. We said this in a room full of mixed ages. You've heard this before. When my mom was old, within the last year of her life, I think it was, she's sitting in a wheelchair. She didn't even believe in women preachers, and I was preaching. And I said, Jesus will speak to you right now, every one of you, if you want to hear him, and you sincerely will believe that it's his thought that he puts in your mind. I said, just close your eyes and say, Jesus, what would you say to me? Now, I want you to do it yet because we're going to do it later. And everybody closed their eyes, and some people said different things. And one of the children, a couple of the children said, he told me he loves me. And my mom said he loves me too. She had never believed in hearing things like that. And he told mom he loved her too.
Amen. That
was cool. It is so cool, so cool. We want to hear Jesus speak resurrection life to us this morning. You know, I've been out of town a couple of days, and I love my kids. I love seeing them, and Jesus is with me, but I don't get my time in the morning like I do at home. I don't get all the alone time with him that I get every day at home. I don't get to read my Bible the same, pray the same. Pretty soon, you know, the danger of being around people is they just keep talking. And when they're talking, you get involved in it, and pretty soon you're talking, and before you know it, you've said something you wish you hadn't have said, and you go, oh, darn, I just said something I shouldn't have said, or, oh, they're watching a movie, I don't want to offend them, you know, and it's like, oh, my daughter, I could have just shot her. She puts on this movie full of violence, and I keep going, okay, fast forward this part, fast forward this part. I don't like to look at violent stuff, you know. And then they finally, they're killing people, bad guys, and then they get to this house, and it's some nice couple, and I said, they're not going to kill them, right? We can watch it from here. I wish I'd have just said shut it off, but I'm trying to, oh, let's get past the bad stuff, you know. So we get to the house, and I said, they're not going to kill them, right? No, they're not going to kill them. So So here comes the bad guys. And I said, you said, she said, no, the parents are going to kill them. And I went, I don't want to see the movie. Turn it off. But my eyes had already taken it in, you know? And you feel kind of defiled by it. And by the things you say and you do and you get out there and you talk and you're like, Jesus, I need to come back. And I get back home and I shut my eyes and I was suddenly in a rainforest. And I don't even know what a real rainforest looks like, but this was my rainforest. There were vines hanging everywhere and water. It was like being showered through these vines. They were just pouring water over me. And I was like, oh, it's a cleansing rainforest. And Jesus is going to wash away. And I know that verse, you're already clean. You only need to wash your feet. But I felt like I dived in the mud. So I wanted the full shower, you know. And then he told me to read John 15:3. And he said, now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Wow. He hadn't spoken a word yet. Not a single word. But all of a sudden I went, I want to be clean by the word you're going to speak to me right now. I want you to speak a word. And that word is just going to bring me right back in full unity again into your love. What is the word that you're going to speak to me? And he began to speak to me the words I needed to hear. I don't know what word you need to hear, but he began to speak what I needed to hear. And you know, I let things come in my ears that corrupt me hearing him. I let people say things into me, you know, like when somebody tells me I'm a lousy writer. I don't care if I'm a lousy writer. God told me to write. So I have to write. But when I hear that and I go, I can't write anymore. I'm not good at it. I'm not good enough. And he says, I made you weak on purpose so you wouldn't be proud. I am a writer. And when Jesus says, you are my author, I need to grab that and hold it.
Amen.
When he says, you are my artist, you know I got a dead eye on one side. I don't see depth. I can't paint real things. I just love color and I love texture. And he moves through it if you let him move through it. You have a purpose. You are created in the image of your God. The world did the best they could to throw mud on that image. The devil did everything he could to scratch it and scar it and destroy it. But all of that only touched your body. It touched your mind. It touched your heart. It didn't touch your spirit.
Right.
And you need to come back in that rainforest, wash away all that junk, and let him speak to who you really are again.
Amen.
Speak how much he loves you. And accept that as your truth. And it'll be a resurrection morning.
Amen.
For you. Today will be that resurrection morning for you. Now, for me, I went on with this rainforest, but I'm not going there, all of that for you. But I do want to go, what will Jesus say to me? You know, I don't know, but I know that the truth, that he will speak truth and truth will make you free.
Right.
Because, you know, John 8:32 says that truth always makes us free. Even hard truth makes us free. But I think he wants to speak loving truth to us. In Ephesians 5:25-27, I'll give you a minute to get there. Just a minute. Are you there yet? This shows the heart of Jesus toward us. Let me just throw out my diamond right there. I see God like a, ooh, angels. No, it's just my chimes. I see God like a multifaceted diamond, and every person created was created as one facet. An exact reflection of one facet of God. That's why as we behold him, it's like looking in a mirror and we're transformed into that same image. When I really behold Christ and all that he is, it touches who I am. It awakens who I am. It resurrects who I was created to be. That's what we want to do this morning. That's what we want to do every time we come into his presence. I don't need to find out who he is. I need to find out who I am.
Right.
I don't need to live from who he was created to be. I don't need to be super smart. I don't need to be super intelligent. I don't need to understand science. I don't need to understand math. Thank God. I hate it. You know, I always say everybody had a favorite subject in school. Mine was where's the back door, because I wasn't good at math, wasn't good at English, wasn't good at social life, wasn't good in gym. Only thing I was good at was seeing how quick I'd get right back out the back door and go home. But everything that I need to be is in me. It's in me. Everything you're created to be, you are fully qualified to be. Amen. There's no competition. It's all of us fitting our spot, making one big, complete body of Christ. Everybody is perfect in their creation. Ephesians 5:25 through 27 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. That's us. And he gave himself for us, that he might sanctify and cleanse us with the washing of water by the word, that he might present us to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that we should be holy and without blemish. Do you know what it takes to be without blemish? It does not take you becoming so perfect you don't sin anymore.
Right.
It doesn't take you having a perfect track record. No. It doesn't take you working hard.
No.
All he wants is love.
Amen.
It's all about love. You know, I read somewhere yesterday in the Bible, it is written, that harlots would get in heaven before some of the Pharisees. The Pharisees kept the rules. They went to church. They dressed different. They acted different. They avoided all the sinful things. And he said, the harlot's going to get in heaven before you do, because she loves me. That's all he wants, to love us and to be loved by us. How hard is that? How hard is it? It's actually not, but then there are parts of love that do become hard, like laying down your life for another. That gets kind of hard, doesn't it? We could go on about the only commandment that there is to love God. Love yourself. That's the hard one. And love others. But I want to go on. I want to read this verse. John 15:16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. That's really, all the commandments are based on love. Now, and yet, a couple times in Scripture, Matthew 22:14 says, many are called, but few are chosen. God said, I've chosen you. Have we chosen? Have we fully chosen him? If you need cleansing this morning, I want to invite you. Whatever's troubling you, whatever is in your mind of guilt or shame, washed away, just like that. Just step into the showers of his love and say, Jesus, wash me clean. Wash away every bad thought, every bad action. Just wash it away, because I want you this morning. I really, really want you to be my life. You've chosen me. I want to choose you. God, you called so many, and yet so few are chosen, because so few choose you. We want to choose you this morning.
Amen.
We want your word.
Amen.
We want you to speak your word, because your word is life.
Yes.
Harvey, would you look up that verse in 663? I'm going to come over there, so it'll go on the website.
It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. John 6:63.
They are spirit and they are life. And your ears hearing them only is the letter of the law. Your spirit must hear them. That means that he wants to go down into the grave, into the dead body we've carried around. And he wants to raise up the real you. Just like he rose up on Easter morning.
Amen.
He wants to bring you into new life.
Amen.
Bring you into new life. He wants to resurrect some of the things he's already spoken to you before that you've let go of, that you've forgotten, or you've been deceived and you've believed lies again and gotten off the path. Ask God this morning. I want you to ask him. You know, they say when you fall in love, you get butterflies in your belly, right? You get butterflies. Let's get some butterflies in our spirit this morning. Jesus, we just love you so much. And Lord, we ask you this morning? What do you have to say to me? What would you speak to me today to bring your resurrection life into my spirit? Tell me a truth that will set me free. Tell me what you feel about me this morning. Or just smile at me. That always works. Speak to me this morning, because life is your words. Your words are full of resurrection life. And I want to fall so deeply in love with you again today. Thank you, Jesus.